All right, Jabosai, good morning, good morning. Let us begin a beautiful, beautiful new week of Daf Yomi ahead of us. I want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this year, to thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Shvat, Ed and Faith Wolf, for dedicating all of the Shiurim and Drashos of this month in memory of Faith's mother, Nessa Basvelvel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Ali and the family in Nechama. To thank Bracha Strimber, who is also our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Shvat, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos of this month in memory of her beloved husband, Avi Avram Ben Kalman Eliezer Halevi Zichron Lebracha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. We, Baruch Hashem, have two sponsors for the week of learning, an anonymous sponsor in the merit of a Rafua Shalema for Kamen Leib Ben Genendel MS and Nechama Tamar Bas Bracha Sara. We hope that in the merit of the Talmud Torah, these two cholim will have a Rafua together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And to thank Rabbi and Mrs. Ziffer for dedicating the Shiurim, the week of learning this week, in commemoration of the Yahrzeit of Rabbi Ziffer's mother, Rachel Bas Meir Yehuda Leiba Cohen. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. Ziffer's your summer. Thank you. Thank you. We also have two sponsors for the Daf today, Mr. and Mrs. Yehuda Buchwalter, in honor of the birth and upsharing of their son, grandson, Yoshua Mand Mazel Tov, and to Melanie, and thank you to Melanie and Milt Gertner for dedicating the Shiur this morning in honor of all of the new members of the Shiur, both live and in podcast land. We thank the Gertners for their sponsorship. And we'll say with that, let us begin. Baruch Hashem, thank you to all of our sponsors. So beautiful to have Torah supported by so many wonderful mishpachos in our Kehila and beyond. Thank you. We'll say with that, let us begin. I think we're right back, Rach, for giving the Shiur yesterday. I was going to start a little bit lower down, but I was told that you ended off yesterday at the two dots. So I'll just pick up there. We'll pick up there quickly, and it moves a little bit. You have a lot to do today. So remember, again, the quote from the Mishnah is, so today's daf is Lamed, 30. We are picking up on Chav Tes on the base 29b at the last of the short lines. Or I should say the third to last of the short lines. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, HaMahalich B'makom Sakarna Mispal Tfila Kitzara. So let's remember again, Rabbi Yeshua introduced this novel idea, which we'll spend more time on today, about the concept of a Tfila Kitzara, a shortened prayer. So essentially, in the world of prayer, we have three different, we'll call it, prayer paradigms. We have davening. So davening is Shmona Esrei, right? We have Havinenu. Although again, we're going to make these distinctions more concrete and clear today. Havinenu, which seems to be a constricted or shortened, truncated, which I know is a favorite word in this kila, truncated form of Shmona Esrei. We'll discuss exactly what that means. And then there's Tfila Kitzara, which seems to be a truncated form of the truncated prayer. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yeshua says, if a person is in a makom sakana, in a place of danger, so they go ahead and they recite this Tfila Kitzara. So the Gemara says, my parsha sa'ibur. So remember again, the lashon of the Mishnah was, Rabbi Yeshua says, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Halich b'makom sakana mispalel Tfila Kitzara, v'omer Hoshea Hashem es amcha sheiris Yisra b'chol parsha sa'ibur. The phraseology of Tfila Kitzara is, Hashem, please save your nation, the remnant of Israel, Bechol Parshas Ha'ibor. So the Gemara is going to say, what does this mean? What does that phrase mean? So my Parshas Ha'ibor, Amar Rav Chisda Amar Okva, Afilu B'Shur Shata Mismali Aleim Evra, Ki Isha Ubra, Yekol Tzarchein Lefanecha. What it means is, Hashem, even when you are filled with anger like us, just as a pregnant woman is filled with her child, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and forgive us. Ika da Amri Amr Rav Chisda Amr Mar Ukva Afilu B'Shashem Ovrim Al Divrei Torah Yekol Tzarchein Lefanecha. We daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when we violate the precepts of your Torah, allow all of our needs to be answered before you, to be present before you. But let's say, so it's interesting, why are we bringing this up at a time of sakana? So remember again, there's a concept that when a person is in danger, so that's a time often when the Beis Din Shama, the celestial court, opens up my file. In other words, Kadosh Baruch Hu was willing to overlook a lot of stuff, a lot of time. But when I am in a situation of danger, and again, the possibility for harm is present, that's when often the celestial files are opened up and judgment occurs. So you see Rabbi Yeshua saying that when a person is in sakana, there's a special tefillah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if I've transgressed, even if I've done something wrong, even if I'm filled with sin like a pregnant woman is filled with the fetus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please spare me from any judgment. Tanu Rabbanan, HaMahalich B'mokom Gidudei Chayiv HaListim. We'll say if a person is walking in a place that is filled with wild animals and robbers. Baltimore. So what happens? Mispalo Tfila Kitzara. Right? So a person should go ahead. A person should daven. A person should daven a shortened tefillah. Ve'ezu hi tefillah kitzara. And I will say, what is considered to be, again, a shortened form of prayer? Ve'ezu hi tefillah kitzara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, asei ritzoncha b'shamayim mima'al. Go ahead, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and please, do your will on the heavens above. Ve'sei nachas ruach l'riyacha mitachas. And give nachas ruach, give tranquility. I will say, at the end of the day, isn't it amazing? What do we want? I will say, it's very interesting. We think that what we want is parnasa. Of course, we want parnasa. We think what we want is health. We want, also, what we really want in life is nachas ruach. What we really want more than anything is tranquility. Because we know, a person can have a lot of money, but not be tranquil. A person can have their health and not be tranquil. Tranquility is a different state of being. It is true that parnasa and refuah and all the things that we daven for help contribute towards that. But we know that a lot of people who have all those things are still not tranquil. And amazingly enough, there are a lot of people who don't have those things and are still tranquil. It's a fascinating, fascinating yisod. But at the end of the day, what I want more than anything in life is I want tranquility. I want a sense of nachas ruach. V'hatov beinecha aseh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what is good in your eyes. I will say, isn't that an incredible tefillah? Not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what is good in my eyes. Right? That's often what we die for. Do what's good in my eyes. No. Do what is good. Baruch Fischel, thank you for trying. Do what is good in your eyes. Even though, again, it might not look so good in my eyes. Baruch Ato Hashem, Shomei Tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua and Bishua says, Shabbos says, these were just different versions of the Tefillah Kitzara. Rabbi says, we're going to see, we don't really have this Tefillah Kitzara so much today, for reasons we'll discuss. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Shema Shavas Amcho Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu, hear the cries of your nation of Israel, Va'ase Mehira Bakashasam, and quickly perform their requests. Baruch Ato Hashem, Shomea Tefillah. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Sedok, Omer, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Sedok says, Shema Tzakas Amcho Yisrael, hear the cries of your nation of Israel, Va'ase Mehira Bakashasam, Baruch Ato Hashem, Shomea Tefillah, and quickly fill their needs. Blessed are you, Hashem, the one who hears all prayer. Achirim Omrim, Sarche Amcha Merubim, B'daitam kitzara. Most of the Achirim had a different version. Their version said the needs of Israel are great, but yet again, daitam, their knowledge or their wisdom is limited, which is about to say what's something incredibly profound. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we need so much, and we need more than we even know what to ask for. This is an incredible thing. See, Rabbi says, sometimes in Shmona Esrei, we go ahead and we go through all the things that we need, which is what we're supposed to do in Shmona Esrei. And the incredible part is, I might think I've gone through the list of all the things that I need. And here the Achirim are saying, we need so much more than we even ask you for. But Daitam Kitzar, Daitam Kitzar doesn't mean that we lack intellect. Doesn't mean we're not smart. Daitam Kitzar means often we don't even have a full grasp of all the things we need to be happy, healthy, nachas ruachdik individuals. Yiratzum ofanecha Hashem Elokeinu, shetitein lechol echad ve'echad kitein barnasaso. Kadosh Baruch Hu, give every person what they need. Ulchol gevia ugevia dai machsara. Give everybody, right? Everybody, what it needs to subsist. Baruch ato Hashem shomea tefila. Rafuna says, halacha ka'achirim. Rafuna says, Rabbi said, that's what? That the proper text for the tefila kitzara, for the shortened prayer, is like the achirim. So Rabbi says, we'll discuss this tefila kitzara versus havinenu versus regular shorah say just a little bit. Amrle Eliyo Rabbi Huda, achud Rav Salah Hasid. Rabbi says, listen to this beautiful gemara. Eliyo is having a conversation with Rabbi Huda, who was the brother of Rav Salah Hasidah. And what does Eliyo say? Rabbi say, very simple advice. Lo sirtach v'lo sachti. Lo sirvi v'lo sachti. Don't get angry and you won't sin. Don't get drunk and you won't sin. Rabbi say, this was the advice of Eliyo Hanavi to Rabbi Huda. The Marsha comments on this. And the Marsha says, he says, at the end of the day, what's the connection to getting angry and getting drunk? The Marsha points out, they both represent the loss of control. Both say the most important thing in life is always to remain in control. Because the moment you lose control of yourself, whether it's through alcohol or whether it's through anger, right? The moment, or by the way, anger doesn't just mean kas. Anger really represents any time you lose control of your emotions. Sometimes people also lose control in a state of happiness. That's not good either. See, Eliyahu HaNavi is saying to Rabbi Yehuda, don't lose control of yourself, whether it's through anger, whether it's through alcohol. Because the moment that occurs is the moment, chas v'shalom, that a person can make the most disastrous of mistakes. U'kisha'ata yotzi l'derech, and when you go out on the road, himalich b'koncha v'tzei, literally consult your creator, consult your God, and go. So I will say, what does this mean? Mahi malech bekoncha v'tzei. What does this mean if you're about to travel? Consult your creator and go. So Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, zo tfilas haderech. Comes the tfilas haderech, that before you go out on your journey, say tfilas haderech. So tfilas haderech, I will say, is the way I consult my creator and I go. V'amar Rabbi Yaakov, Shavam Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Chista, kal deyotze haderech tzarech lespal tfilas haderech. Anytime you go on a journey, you have to say tfilas haderech. My tfilas haderech, yiratzel mofanecha Hashem Elokai. So it should be your will, Hashem, my God. Kodesh Baruch Hu, literally guide me in my journey in peace, establish my steps in peace, tismicheni l'shalom, support me in peace, v'tatzileni mikav kol oyev v'orev baderech, and save me from the cusp, from the grasp of any enemies, v'tishtach bracha b'maseh yodai, give me success in all of my endeavors. And allow me to find favor and compassion in the eyes, in your eyes, and in the eyes of all who see me. Baruch atah Hashem, shomea tefilah. Blessed are you, Hashem, the one who hears all prayer. I will say, so first of all, it's amazing to see that so much of the tefilas haderech we have today is this same exact tefilas. Isn't it incredible? When you realize this is what it means to be part of a mesorah, part of a tradition. So I will say, it always struck me that here you're going out, right? So when we say Tfilas HaDerech, we say, V'tatzil mikaf kol oyev, save me from all enemies. It sounds so dramatic, you're going on a journey. So I say, I'd say we could appreciate this most. So you know, like in that moment where your children begin to drive. So in that moment your children begin to drive. No, hear me out with this. This is not a reference. You know, the scariest thing is when you see your children go out to drive. Why? Because you recognize that although they may be very well prepared, right, and they may be fine, and they're fantastic drivers, the one thing that is so acutely on your mind is everyone else who is irresponsible, right, and everyone else who's not going to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. And it's in that moment, it struck me, I don't know why, because I never really appreciated Tfilas HaDerech, literally until my children started driving. Because then you really begin to think in mind, I really hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just saves them, not from themselves. Then I daven, that's different tefillah, right? But ultimately, again, but to save them from everyone else who's out there who may not be attentive. Those are the oyvim. Those are the arvim. It's an incredible, incredible yisod. So Amar Abaye says, lishta top of lamid, lishta. So I will say, first of all, before we go on, I just have to tell you something amazing. Remember how this Gemara begins. This is so incredible. This is Rav Yaakov, in the name of Rav Chista, said, this is Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi said, Kisha'ate yotzi laderech, himalech bekoncha. Whenever you go out on a journey, consult your creator. So we'll say, the Marsha says, Lefi shekol hadrachim becheskas sakonahim. So the Marsha says, this is an incredibly profound idea. Every journey is fraught with danger. Every journey in life is fraught with danger. Sometimes the danger is physical, sometimes the danger is spiritual, but every journey in life is fraught with danger. So before you embark on the journey, says the Marsha, Ve'gamim yotzei b'yatza b'derech l'shalom miyagidim yatzliach. Even if you begin the journey in peace, who says you're going to be successful? Ve'ein l'cha lihimalich rakim konabos, you understand? This is not just a din in Tfilas HaDerech for getting in your car and getting on a plane. Eliyahu HaNavi was saying, before you embark on any life journey, understand any life journey, whether it's in your personal life, in your career, in your relationships, every journey is fraught with incredible and dramatic danger. And even if it looks like you're going to be successful, who says you're going to reach the finish line? So whatever journeys you take in life, always make sure that you consult with God. But more important than consulting with God, make sure you bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu along with you on the journey as well. That's the Marsha. So the Gemara goes, Zayta, Amar Abaye, Olam Lishtif. top of Lamed. Lishtef inish nafshe b'hadik tzibure. So we'll say a person should always go ahead. Now Rashi understands over here that this is again a continuation of the discussion of Tfilas HaDerech. That when davening Tfilas HaDerech, ultimately, again, one shouldn't daven in the singular, rather one davens b'lashon rabim, in the plural. As the way we utter many of our tfilos, we utter them in the plural. Why? Because at the end of the day, there's a concept that collective prayer is always more readily answered than individual or private prayer. That's why it's nice to daven by yourself, but at the end of the day, when you daven by yourself, you don't have the merit of the rabbin. So therefore, even Tfilas HaDerech, ultimately, again, we phrase it in the plural, which is what we do to this very day. We phrase it in the plural. Hey, Chinemus, what should you say? Yiratzom afanach Hashem alakenu shetolichenu l'shalom. Plural. Kadosh Baruch Hu, guide us in peace. Emas matli, when should you daven Tfilas HaDerech? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rav Chista, Misha Shemahalich Baderech. So we'll say, so ultimately, again, this is very important. You begin to say Tfilas HaDerech when? Only once you've started the journey. So we'll say, one might think, now the truth is, the laws of Tfilas, we're not going to have time to get into the halachos of Tfilas HaDerech. I think I'm going to use one of the future lunch learners to speak about this, because the truth is, the laws of Tfilas HaDerech have fundamentally changed today with the nature of travel. For example, Rabbi Soloveitchik held that one does not go ahead and necessarily say Tfilas HaDerech for air travel, which is fascinating. Most poskim hold that you do say Tfilas HaDerech for air travel. Rabbi Soloveitchik is of the opinion that since air travel has become so common. So again, you even have machloksim, air travel over a body of water, not over a body of water, Teretz Yisrael, not Teretz Yisrael, all different things. So it's amazing to see how the Gemara understands, like, what is a Tfilas HaDerech worthy journey? So in terms of the Gemara, pretty much was a couple of miles. You know, so it's amazing. For us, a couple of miles is nothing, right? We don't even think about it. So again, we're going to see it inside, but just bear in mind that contemporary halacha vis-a-vis Tfilas HaDerech has so dramatically changed with technological advances. So but the idea of the Gemara saying over here is, you don't say Tfilas HaDerech before you leave your house. The idea of Tfilas HaDerech is, you must be already into the journey. In order to be able to recite it. So Mishah Shemalech B'derech, Ad Kama. So we'll say, even Ad Kama, there's a machlokes as to how to read this. So how long can you say Tfilas HaDerech? From Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Chista, Ad Parsa. So we'll say, Rashi quotes two different opinions over here. Ad Parsa, look at Rashi, Ad Parsa. Avalola Acher Shehalach Parsa. So the first opinion in Rashi says, you must say Tfilas HaDerech within the first Parsa of the journey. But if you didn't say it in the first Parsa, then you don't say it at all. He then quotes the Bahag, and the Bahag says, no. Ad Parsa means it's only if you're traveling at least a parsa, some significant amount of distance, that you go ahead and recite Tfilas HaDerech. What does Rabbi say? Tfilas HaDerech is only going to be recited ultimately again upon some significant, sizable journey. So Amar Rav Chista ad parsa vehechi matzli. Rabbi say, so how should you daven it? Rav Chista Amar Mu'umad. Rav Chista says that really what you should do is, Rav says what? You say standing, which means what? So say for our purposes contemporarily, what does it mean? Pull over to the side of the road. The idea of being standing doesn't actually necessarily have to mean standing up, but what it means is you stop your travel. You stop your travel and you recite Tfilas HaDerech. Rav Sheshes says no, afilu mahalich. You can even go ahead and recite Tfilas HaDerech while still traveling. Rav Chista is how we paskin. That ultimately, again, you need not be stopped in order to go ahead and recite Tfilas HaDerech. But ultimately, again, one could go ahead and even be continue the traveling. Rav said the idea behind that is, Rav Sheshes holds, which is how he paskin, if you make a person stop mid-journey to say Tfilas HaDerech, what's going to happen? It's actually going to be more distracting than not. Because if a person has to stop the journey, delay the journey, that's actually problematic. So the Gemara says, amazing story. Rav Chista Rav Sheshes have a kazli b'arucha. Rav Chista Rav Sheshes were traveling. Kam Rav Chista v'kamatzli. So we'll say Rav Chista stopped the journey, and Rav Chista stopped to say Tfilas HaDerech. Amali Rav Sheshes l'shamei. Rav Sheshes realized, and I'll say Rav Sheshes was blind. So Rav Sheshes is in the wagon, and he realizes that the wagon stopped. So what does he do? He says to his attendant, "My kavod Rav Chista, what's going on? Why did the wagon stop? What is Rav Chista doing?" Amalei kayu masle, to which the attendant told Rav Sheshes, Rav Chista stopped to stand up to say Tfilas HaDerech. Amalei ukman nami lididi, help stand me up as well. Va'asli, and I'll say Tfilas HaDerech, miyos tov va'tikra ra. Quotes the pasuk over here, because I'd rather be good and not be called bad. In other words, another way of saying, Rav Sheshes, listen, I wouldn't have stopped because I hold that you could say Tehillat HaDerech even while traveling. But if Rav Chisda's stopping and he's standing up, then you know what? I'm going to stop and stand. I mean, I'm already stopped. I'm going to stand up and say Tehillat HaDerech as well. So my Ika bein Havina. So we'll say, now we get to the essence of what we were speaking about before. So remember again, about say we have three different, it appears, three different forms of tefillah. What we'll call normative Shmona Esrei, which is 18/19 brachas. Havineinu, which is a truncated form of prayer. And what Rabbi Yeshua told us in the Mishnah was Tefillah Kitzara, a shortened form of prayer. Mm-hmm. So I understand what Shmona Esrei is. What is the difference between Havineinu and Tefillah Kitzara? So I said, listen to this. My Ika bein Havineinu Tefillah Kitzara. So Havineinu bai letzilui gimel kamaisa ve gimel gas bas raisa bechimati lebeisei lo bai lemahadra letzaluye. Rabbi said, here's Havineinu. This is amazing. Havineinu is first three brachos of Shmona Esrei, last three brachos of Shmona Esrei, and essentially the middle 13 are condensed into one paragraph. That's Havineinu. And I will say, when do you say Havineinu? When for whatever reason you don't have the ability to go ahead and recite your answer. I will say, do you remember again the old blue Siddurim, the Birnbaum Siddurim? The Birnbaum Siddurim had Havineinu printed in them. Actually, Shmuel Fogel gave me a copy of a World War II Siddur that they printed for the chaplains. In the chaplain Siddur, they actually did not have regular Shmona Esrei. They just had Havineinu. It was absolutely incredible. So this was Havineinu. It was first three brachos, last three brachos, middle brachos condensed into one. By the way, don't get any ideas. You know, I see a lot of. Very interesting. So you'll see why we actually don't say Havineinu today. We'll discuss why. Everything, all middle 13 brachos collapsed into one paragraph. Then I both say that counts as Shmona Esrei. So, for example, let's say I'm in a situation where I recited Havineinu because of a lack of time or urgency. When I get home, even if it's still Zman Tefillah, I don't have to daven again. So Havineinu represents a normative Shmona Esrei, albeit in a truncated form. However, Tefillah, the Gemara says, Tefillah Kitzara, Lo Boi Letzilei Lo Gimel Kamaisa Lo Gimel Gas Raisa. So I both say, Tefillah Kitzara is, as we just said, what's Tefillah Kitzara? That's what we saw before, Arnamed Beis. Right? That was Rabbi Yoshua's Tefillah. It's two lines. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomei Tefillah. That's it. Shabbos say, what that does is, that counts for a time of urgency, but it does not discharge your obligation of prayer. Vaharaya, if you go ahead and you get back home, or you get you're no longer in a state of emergency, and it's still Zman Tefillah, what do you have to do? You have to go back and daven. And then Rabbos say, Havineinu is recited Mu'umad, Tefillah Kitzara bein Mu'umad bein Mahalich. Shorten prayer, Tefillah Kitzara, ultimately, again, is standing or sitting. So Rabbos say, essentially what comes out is as follows. Havineinu is a form of Shmona Esrei. And therefore, if you said Havineinu, you have fulfilled your obligation for Tefillah. Tefillah Kitzara is not a form of Shmona Esrei. What is Tefillah Kitzara? Essentially, it's the best you can do under difficult circumstances. But if you, in fact, have the ability to daven later on, halacha lemaisa, you need to daven later on because you have not fulfilled your obligation of prayer. So I'll just point out something very interesting. The Mishnah Berurah says, we don't say Havineinu today anymore. Why don't we say Havineinu today anymore? It's interesting. Havineinu was there for circumstances where ultimately, again, one could not have requisite kavana for a regular Shmona Esrei, therefore you daven Havineinu. Mishnah Berurah makes a very sad statement, and he says, today, when people daven, no one has kavana anyway. That's what he says, and unfortunately, he's not saying it as a joke. So the truth is, I'm not going to have any more kavana or any less kavana if I daven a regular Shmona Esrei or if I daven Havineinu. It's a very sad statement. But the truth is, it's whatever. There's a lot more to say about that. So therefore, I will say that's why you'll see today we don't really see Havineinu, right? In fact, again, I think the Birnbaum was really the last siddur. I'm pretty sure our scroll does not print it at all in the siddurim, because again, reflective of the Pesach of the Mishnah Berurah, that unfortunately kavana vis-a-vis tefillah is so compromised as it is. So if I'm already davening without kavana, I might as well daven a whole shonas without kavana and not a Havineinu without kavana. However, I will turn this around. So Gemara goes weiter. Ayurochev ala chamor. So let's remember again. So the Mishnah said, if I'm riding on a donkey, so what's that locha? Ideally, you should get off your donkey. Right, get off your high donkey. Right, get off your donkey to go ahead and daven. But if not, if you can't get off the donkey, then what? You should go ahead and turn your face towards Yerushalayim. Rav Zerbo say, even if you're traveling in a different direction, turn your face towards Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says as follows, Tan Rabbanan, Hayrochev alachamar v'giyez man tfilo. If you're riding on a donkey and it's time to daven, if you have someone to hold your donkey, so get off your donkey and daven. Ve'im lav, but if you don't have someone to hold your donkey, so im lav yeshev bimkomo v'yispalo. Ultimately, again, sit on the donkey and daven. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, ben kach yeshev bimkomo v'yispalo. Rabbi says the truth is we don't make you get off your donkey. Why? Because we will say if a person is traveling and they have to stop the journey to daven, even if there's someone else who's holding the donkey. They both say a person is distracted. Why? Because I know that I still have a long journey ahead of me. In other words, sometimes it's better to let a person continue on the journey, sit on the donkey, and daven. Because they both say, if I'm traveling, I don't have the right kavanas anyway, right? In other words, I have the journey is sitting on me, sitting on my head, and therefore just let him stay on the donkey and continue the journey and daven like that. So we'll say, halacha follows Rabbi, meaning that if you are traveling on the donkey, even if halacha lamaisa, you have someone to hold the donkey, nevertheless, you are allowed to continue to sit on the donkey, travel forward, and daven like that. Tan Rabbanon. Suma. Let's say again. So we normally daven facing towards Yerushalayim, right? That's how we daven, facing towards the Beis Hamikdash. What happens if a person is blind, or a person just doesn't know which direction they're going in? So we'll say, what's that? Libo keneged Aviv Shabashamayim. So we'll say, so beautiful. If you don't know, if you're directionally challenged, and you don't know which direction is Yerushalayim or Eretz Yisrael, if you can't direct your body, you can always direct your heart. Direct your heart towards Yerushalayim. Or as he says, towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, V'espalu lo El Hashem, Hayomid b'chutz la'aretz. If a person is davening outside of Eretz Yisrael, Yechav v'nes libo, can I get Eretz Yisrael? You direct your heart towards Eretz Yisrael. When you daven Shemana, so you direct your heart towards Yerushalayim, towards Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, V'espalu eilecha derech artzam. What if you're standing in Eretz, you're davening in Eretz Yisrael, what do? Yechavin libo k'neged Yerushalayim. You direct your heart towards Yerushalayim. V'espal shneimar v'espalu Hashem derech ha'ir asher bacharta. Hayomer b'Yerushalayim. What if you have the schus to be standing in Yerushalayim? So where do you direct your heart? Yechavin es libo k'neged Beis HaMikdash. So if in Yerushalayim, direct your heart towards the Beis HaMikdash. Shneimar v'espalu el ha'bayis hazeh. Hayomer Beis HaMikdash. If you're standing in the Beis HaMikdash, Yechavin eslibo kineged beis kodshi akadoshim. We'll say, what do you do if you're staying in Yerushalayim? Direct your heart to the Holy of Holies. Shneemar v'spalalu el hamakom hazeh. Hayo omid bebeis kodesh akadoshim. Wow. Let's say you're standing in Kodesh HaKadoshim. We'll say, you're the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, and you're standing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So we'll say, so the truth is, I wanted to point out to you, there's another case of where you're standing in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Where else? Well, remember again, there were people who were allowed into the Kodesh HaKadoshim for repairs. Remember again, the Gemara Maseches Yuma discusses how they were lowered in. They didn't come in from, right? They didn't walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Repairmen were lowered in from the roof, right? And they were lowered in actually into an enclosure to be able to do repairs. We'll see it when it comes to Yuma. So we'll say, let's say again, it's time for davening. We'll say, by the way, once upon a time, Jews were handy. I just want to point this out, right? This wasn't like hired help, right? These weren't guys. Like, oh, I have a guy. I'll bring my guy to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No. Like, these were Jews. Only Jews were permitted to work in the Beis HaMikdash. So they went. So both say. So what happens if you're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So yechavin eslibo kineged beis hakapores. So both say. In that case, you direct yourself towards the lid of the aron. Right, the beis hakapores is the lid of the aron where the kruvim, right, the two angel-like, childlike figures were perched. Hayomer achorei beis hakapores. So both say. What if you're standing behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Both remember again. So there was a space. Right, the Kodesh HaKadoshim was in the back of the Beis HaMikdash proper. But where the end of the Heichal ended, there was 11 Amos. Remember again, we'll say this from our Midos days. Right? There was a whole space behind the end of the Heichal and the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, or the wall of the Harabayas compound. So Yira Asmo Kilo Ethne HaKapores. So we'll say you view yourself as if you're standing in front of the Kapores. Nimsa all made but Mizrach Machzir Parnav L'Mayrav. Therefore, we'll say it turns out that if you're in the east, you turn to the west. But Mayrav Machzir Parnav L'Mizrach. If you're standing, we'll say first wide line. If you're standing in the west, you turn yourself towards the east. But Dara Machzir Parnav L'Tzafon. If you're standing in the south, you turn towards the north. But Tzafon Machzir Parnav L'Darom. If you're in the north, you turn towards the south. And Abbas said, what does it turn out? This is so beautiful. Nimtza Kol Yisra Mechavdin Eslibom L'Makom Echad. Abbas, here's the incredible piece. When we daven, we all turn in the same direction. We all face towards the same thing. Abbas said, isn't this an incredible thing? At the end of the day, we are such a dramatically different people with so many different segments and so many different factions. But when we daven, we all try to face in the same direction. Rabbi Avin Vitim Rabbi Avina Mikra. Rabbi said, what's the pasuk that highlights this dynamic that Klal Yisrael Dav is in the same direction? Kimigdal David Savarech Banui Litalpios. Rabbi said, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting is from Shir HaShirim. Literally, again, remember, Shir HaShirim is written as a love ballad between a man and a woman. So the man HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to, or in this case, it's Klal Yisrael speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, K'migdal David Savareich. Literally, again, your neck is like the Migdal David, like the Tower of David. Banoi Letalpios. It is built, Talpios literally means like a landmark. But here the Gemara darshins, what is Talpios? It's a contraction. Tel Shekol Pios Ponimbo. It is about saying the tower that all mouths turn towards. What's the tower that all mouths turn towards? That's the Beis HaMikdash. Right? There was, remember again, the Beis HaMikdash. See, it's hard for us to appreciate this because the topography of Yerushalayim has changed over the... Just like Rabbi said, we think about the Beis HaMikdash is on Harabayis. Let's remember again, Harabayis, remember, Herod changed the topography of Harabayis in a dramatic way. Because what did Herod do? Herod went ahead and filled in the mountain. Right? Rabbi said, that's why, again, today, if you ever have the schus to go on the Harabayis, it's an incredible schus to be able to go on the Harabayis, it's not a mountain anymore. Right, it's a large flat area. That's because Herod came in, built what do they call it? Retaining walls. Thank you. Both retaining walls, filled it up with earth and made the entire area flat. But when Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, even the beginning of the Second Temple era, the Beis HaMikdash was on a mountain. That's why, again, when they see the, like Robinson's Arch, these archways that go in, the imagery was people were coming across. It was a mountain, which means there was a valley, thank you, right? A valley in between. So it's an incredible idea. So that's the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is the tell. It's the mountain that all mouths turn towards. But isn't that an incredible imagery? Every single Jewish heart always turns to one mountain, always turns to one landmark, always turns to one hill, and that's the Beis HaMikdash. Incredible. Avod Shmuel Levi. So we'll say Avod Shmuel, the father of Shmuel and Levi, Kavu Baal LeMeifik LeArcha. Whenever they needed to go out on a journey, Havi Mikad LiUmatzli. So we'll say now again, this is not Tzilas HaDerech right now. This is davening. So when Avuah D'Shmuel is actually quite fascinating. When Avuah D'Shmuel Levi would have to go out on a journey. So what happened? Havu Makdimi Umatzli. They would daven early. Now, we'll say, there's a machlokas Rashi tells us over here about what's happening. Rashi seems to indicate that they were davening even before Alos, even before dawn. Tosa says that doesn't make any sense. Why? Because we'll say before dawn is what? Is nighttime. So rather, Tosa says the novelty over here is they were davening after Alos, after dawn, but before sunrise. So although ideally we don't daven Shmona Esrei before sunrise, what these great men were doing was, because they knew they were going on a journey, and ultimately what? It was going to be hard to daven on a journey. They made a conscious decision, better to daven earlier, after dawn, but before sunrise, but be able to daven with tranquility and with kavana, right? In the house, standing up, then have to go ahead and daven on the journey. V'chiyavimatiz makriyashma karu. And when Zman Kriya Shema came, they would daven Shema later. So they would daven Shmona Esrei earlier, right, while they were still at home, before they sit out on the journey. And they would daven Shema when Zman Kriya Shema came later on. So the Gemara says, Kiman, whose opinion was this like? Kiatanya Disanyo Hishkim Let's Isla Derech. If a person had to get up and go early on a journey, Vivian Lo Shofar Vitokea. So if it's Rosh Hashanah, so they bring him a shofar and he blows the shofar. Lulav Menanea, right? For Lulav and he shakes a little Megillah Vikoreba. But if the Zman Kriya Shema comes, then he davs. So we'll say, what's this? Remember again, what's happening over here is as follows. If you are setting out on a journey, generally any daytime mitzvah can be done already from dawn. Perform your daytime mitzvahs before you set out on the journey. Shema, you could say while you're in the journey. Why Rabbo say? Shema requires, remember, only a lesser amount of kavanah. You really only have to have kavanah for what? For the first line. Shema Yisrael Shalom Kino Shem Echad. So we're confident that even if you're journeying, you could have kavanah for that first line. So Shema, you'll say later on by sunrise, but everything else, tefillah, every other mitzvah, do before you set out on the journey. So we'll say, so this is a dramatic idea, and I will say this is very lemaisa, especially this time of year. A person has to leave on a journey early, so I have a choice. I could daven on the way or daven later on. So the Gemara seems to be saying, no, better to daven Shmona Esrei in your home. Or assuming you can't daven with a minion. Before you set out, daven Shmona Esrei, do your mitzvos, you'll say Shema later on. The Gemara says, Hishkim leishev bakarna b'sfina. What happens if you're going to be journeying? You wake up early, and you're going to be in a wagon or on a boat. So you're not traveling by foot. You're on a wagon, you're on a boat. So mispalel, so the Gemara says, mispalel, kishi agiz man kriyashma kore. Same I did Davin, and ultimately again, when Zman Kriya Shema comes along, you'll say Shema then. Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, no. Ben kach kori Kriya Shema umispala. But Rabbi Shimon Elazar argues, and he says, no, whether you're traveling by foot, or whether you're traveling on a boat, or on a wagon, you should say Shema and Shemona Esrei together during the journey. Why? Kedesh Yismoch Gulu L'Tfilah. In order that you juxtapose Gal Yisrael to Shemona Esrei. But my Kamef, the Gerbose, what are they arguing about? Mar Savar Tfilah Me'umad Adif. So the first opinion, the Gerbose, Ayi Avod Shemona Levi hold that it is better to daven Shemona Esrei standing up. So therefore, because of that, it is better to daven Shemona Esrei before you leave the house. Right? Whether before you set out on foot or any. This way again, you have a Shemona Esrei, you daven it standing up. And the other opinion holds that what? That halacha l'maisa, it is better to juxtapose Shema and Shemona Esrei together, therefore daven while journeying. I'll say another example of this. Merimar Marzutra would go ahead, they would gather a minyan together on the Shabbos of the Regel. So let's remember again, the Shabbos of the Regel was the Shabbos before a Yomtiv. So on the Shabbos before Yom Tov, people would gather together for a big shir. That shir was Hilchos Yom Tov. They taught all the halachos of the respective Yom Tov on that Shabbos. So Mereimar and Marzutra were the ones who had to give the shir. So because of that, they were going to be involved in giving the shir the entire time. Therefore, they wouldn't have a chance to daven later on. So what would they do? They would get a minyan together early in the morning before the shir, and then they would daven. V'hadir nafke l'pirka. Ravashi matzli b'hadi tzibura b'yachid miyushav. This is very interesting. Ravashi would go ahead and he would daven miyachid. This is incredible. So this is what Ravashi would do. Ravashi would have a torgamon, right? So the torgamon is, we translate it as translator, but it's not a translator. But what happened is, Ravashi would give things, like we'll call like in halachic shorthand. And then it was the obligation of the torgamon to explain it in a way that the masses could understand. So Ravashi had an incredible chap. What would he do? He would give the torgamon a large amount of information. They would take the torgamon a good 10, 15 minutes to go ahead and explain. What would he do? While the torgamon would go ahead and say his thing, he would daven Shmona Esrei sitting down right there. He would daven Shmona Esrei right there. But Miyusha, but sitting down. Kiava Asi Labese, Hadar Matzli Mu'umad. When he would get back home, he would daven again later on, standing up. Amrali Rabbanan, Vele Avid Mar Kimer Mer Mer Zutra. So the Rabbanan said to him, I don't understand. Why don't you just get a minion together? Why don't you just get a minion together later on, right? Why don't you just go ahead and get a minion? I'm sorry, earlier on. Why don't you just get a minion of people to daven together before the shir starts, like Mary Mar Zutra did? Amr Luhu, Trechali Milsa. It's too cumbersome. And I will say, now when he said Trechelim Milsa, what he was saying is, I feel bad being Matriach other people to come and daven with me so early. They don't have to do that. So I feel bad being Matriach, 9 other people to come to daven with me. So I believe, Ovid Mar Kavod the Shmuel Levi. So why don't you go ahead and conduct yourself like Avod the Shmuel Levi, who davened by themselves. They davened by Yechidos, but they davened early on. Amr Lehu, was this incredible. So Mar Zutra said, I'm sorry, Marimar said, no. Who was this? Ravashi. So Ravashi said, Amr Lehu, lo chazina lehu v'rabbanan kishishi minai da'avdi hachi. I never saw my Rebbeim do this. So because I never saw my Rebbeim do it, therefore what? That's not my Mesora, and therefore again, I don't feel comfortable doing it. Quite an incredible idea. So therefore again, I will say, you see these different practices. Shabbos said, what do we do? Halacha l'maisa. So this is very important because a lot of times a person has to go on a journey and ultimately, again, has to daven early. Shabbos said, so what's the halacha? So the halacha is as follows. So there, again, you see different practices. Shabbos said, but general conventional wisdom is that if you have to go on a journey early, as long as it is after alos, assuming that a person will not be able to daven. So if you have to leave early and you catch a minyan later on, right, wherever you're going to, so catch a minyan later on. But I will say generally, if it's a question between davening now or davening later, better to daven as long as it's after alos, even if it's before nates, daven shema and shmona esrei. Daven in your home, therefore you could daven b'me'uma, you could daven standing up. You also have smichas gula l'tfila, the juxtaposition between shema and shmona esrei, that is much better than having to daven somewhere else during the journey. This ensures that one davens, and this ensures that one davens to the best of their ability with kavana as well. Incredible. Mishnah. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, Ein tfilas hamusafin ela bechaver ir. What's an interesting halacha? Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah says, you only daven musaf with, well, we'll see. Look at Rashi. Ein tfilas hamusaf ela bechaver ir, lo tiknua ela betzibor. They both say the concept of musaf is only in effect when there is a tzibur. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? There's no such, it appears that what he's saying is there's no such thing as, well, we'll see what he's saying. Right? Tfilas and musafin was instituted with a tzibur. Chavir ir chabura sa'ir avalo liyachid. So it sounds like what he's saying is tfilas musaf was only instituted for the tzibur, but not for the yachid. The chachamim say no. Bechaver ir v'shalo bechaver ir. The Chachamim say, no, you could daven Musaf with a minyan, and even if you're not with a minyan. Rabbi Huda is coming to qualify the statement of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And what does he say? Komakom sheyesham chaver ir, yachid patir, mitzilas amusafin. Wherever there is a minyan, right, chaver ir, so ultimately, again, the individual is patir from Musa. So I just want to show you how the Mishnah is structured. We have the view of the Chachamim. And the Chachamim say, Tfilas Musaf is a din, is an obligation on the Tzibra, on the Yachid. So whether you're davening with a minyan, not davening with a minyan, you have an obligation, ultimately, again, to daven Tfilas Musaf. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's two versions of Elazar ben Azariah. There's version number one, and then Rabbi Yehuda's version. And Rabbi Yehuda's version, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah just simply says straight out, the din of Tfilas Musaf only applies where there is a minyan. Rabbi Huda comes along, and Rabbi Huda is stating a version of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He says, "Komakum sheish chaver ir yachid pater mitzilas amusafin." To which the Gemara says, "Rabbi Huda netanakama." I don't understand. How is Rabbi Huda stating a different version of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? It seems to be saying the same thing. To which the Gemara says, "No, ika benayu." Here's a fundamental difference: yachid shalo bechaver ir. Rabbi said the fundamental distinction is what happens if you have an individual who lives in a place where there is no minyan. There is no minyan. Tanakama savar pater. The Tanakama, which is the first Israel of Zeven Azari, will say that if a person is in a place where there is no minyan, the Tanakama, which is Rabbi Zeven Azari, will say the individual is pater. Rabbi Huda savar chayiv. Rabbi Huda will say that ultimately, again, he is chayiv. Look at Rashi, Rabbi Osai. Yochid shlo b'chaver ir. Yochid hadar b'ir she'in sham asara. If a person lives in a community where there is not a minyan of people, the Tanakama libid Rabbi Lazar, damar lo tiknu elav asar, yochid zeh pater. Ulu Rabbi Huda in yochid pater elav b'mokum asara. Rabbi Osai, the fundamental distinction seems to be as follows. According to the first Israelis of Azariah, if there is no minyan, if there is no minyan, the individual is pater from Musaf. According to Rabbi Yehuda's version, the individual is only potter if there's a minyan. But if there is no minyan, then the individual is chayiv to daven musaf. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Bar Chidna, Amar Rav Chiyah, Amar Barav, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Shar Mishum Elazar ben Azariah. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, who sent in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Namely what? That halacha lemaisa, if there's a minyan of people davening musaf, so the Shliach Tzibur is davening musaf, that exempts the Yachid. But if there is no minyan of people, then the Yachid is obligated. Amar Rav Chiyah bar Abin, Shaper ka'amrit, Damar Shmuel, Miyamai lo matzilna tzalusa de musafin biyachid. Shmuel said, I never davened musaf when I was alone. Rabbi say, now the assumption over here is, why is that? When I was in Narda, Rabbi say, why is that? Because the assumption is that in Narda there was a minyan, the minyan was davening musaf. So Rabbi say, just understand the novelty here. So the novelty is, if there's a minyan davening musaf, then what? Then what? I, as a yachid, am exempt. Right? The tzibur has taken care of my obligation. With one exception, Labar me'ahu yoma, except for that one day, da'asa pumasa de'malka lamasa, where the king's army came to the city, v'achid rabbanan, and obviously it caused a whole stir and a whole bunch of confusion, v'lo tzalud. So there was that one time where the tzibur did not daven musaf, because the king's army came to town, there was a whole ruckus that was caused. Therefore, I guess services were disrupted, and therefore, in that case, v'tzalu li b'yachid. And therefore, in that case, I davened by myself. Why? V'havi yachid shelo b'chaver ir. Because in that case, I became an individual where there was no minyan. Okay. Yosef Rav Chanina kra kameid Rav Yanai. So we'll say Rav Chanina kra. They called him Rav Chanina kra. Right, they called him Rav Chanina Kra because he was very proficient in Tanakh. So Rav Chanina Kra, Kamid Rav Yana, V'yasa V'kamer, Halacha Kra, Rabbi Yehuda, Shom Rishon Reloza Ben Azariah. Ultimately, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. I should say the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Elaza Ben Azariah. But also remember again, Rabbi Yehuda's version of Elaza Ben Azariah says that the Yachid is only potter when what? When there's a Tzibor. But if there's no Tzibor, if there's no minyan davening Musaf, the Yachid is going to be obligated. So the Gemara says, Amar lei, puk kra kareich libra. You and your psukim should get out of here. So I'm saying that, no, you're wrong. De'in halacha kra bihuda, shar mishom alazam ben azariah. The halacha does not follow Rabbi Yehuda's version of alazam ben azariah. Am Rabbi Yochanan says, Ani ra'isiyas Rabbi Yanai ditzali v'hadar tzali. I saw Rabbi Yochanan davin, and then davin again. Now I'm both saying that the assumption is, why is he davening and davening again? He must have davened Shachris and then Musaf. So you see from here that even in a place where there's a minyan, the Yachid is still obligated to daven Musaf. So you both say, just to be clear, in Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if there is a minyan that is davening Musaf, what does that do? That exempts the individual. So the collective exempts the individual, which means if I didn't make it to shul that day, this is the right part of the Shita. If I didn't make it to shul that day, as long as the minyan daven musaf, I'm exempted. The only time the individual is obligated is when there's no minyan davening musaf. That's Rabbi Yehuda's version of Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, I saw Rabbi Yanai daven to Shmona Esreis. And there's only one reason Rabbi Yanai would daven to Shmona Esreis, which is why he must have been davening Shachris and then Musaf. What do you see from here? Rabbi Yanai is still in a place where there's a minyan, but you see from here that even when there's a minyan, the individual is still obligated to recite Musaf. Wow. Maybe not. Well, see, maybe the reason he davened two Shmona Esreis was why? Maybe the first one he davened was Shachris. And what? Nachmana Lestani didn't have Kavana. So why is he davening again? He's davening again to try to get it right. Rabbi said, that's the halacha on a technical level. Right? Rabbi said, the only reason we don't do this, because we said before, because the chances, the statistical probability of me having more kavana in my second shmorza than I had in my first is nil. So because of that, we don't take that roll of the dice. But maybe the reason why Rabbi Yanai davened again was because he davened the first one, Shmona Esreis, he didn't have kavana, and so he davened the second time to try to have kavana. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi says, "Amar lei, chazi man gavra rabbi kamase dalei." Be careful who you are talking about, right? You're talking about Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai would not get up to daven without having kavana. But we're going to see. This is actually going to be the next parak. We're going to see great people did not get up to daven without kavanah. So if Rabbi Yana is davening a Shmona Esrei and then davening a second Shmona Esrei afterwards, it's not because he didn't have Kavana for the first, but rather what? It's because he was davening Musaf. So I will say, so again, therefore this is a good Raya, that even if you live in a place where there is a Minyan, the Yachid, the individual, still has to daven Musaf. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Afagav, the Havilu, Tleisar, Bekinishta, Betveria, even though there were 13 shuls in Tveria, Lahavi Masli Elepene and Mudeheka Devagar. So we spoke about this earlier. That even though again that there are shuls, there is a concept of davening where you learn. There's an incredible concept like this, that the place where you learn has such a hashras, such a kedusha, that you see great people with dafka makbet to daven in the base medrash. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi Mishum Rabbeinu Amar, Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda Shar Mishum Loza Ben Azaria. So we'll see, you have again Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi singing in the Rabbi Yehuda, the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda Zor Shar Loza Ben Azaria, which means what Rabbi Osai? If you live in a place where there's a minyan, so when the minyan davens musaf, that exempts the individual. But if there's no minyan, that's when the individual becomes obligated. Rabbi Chibra Abba Hatzali v'Hadar Tzali. But yet, Rabbi Chibra Abba davened, then he davened again. Which mostly sounds like what? He's davening shachris, and then what? And then musaf. Which sounds like even if the individual is in a place where there is a minyan, the individual still has to daven musaf. Amrali Rabbi Zira, my time of Abid Marahachi. Why is he doing this? If you want to say it's because maybe he didn't have kavan on the first one, so that's why he's davening a second one. We're going to see this halacha a little bit later on in a few days from now. That in general, a person should not get up to daven unless, of course, he knows that he should have requisite kavana. And if he can't have kavana, don't daven. So what's happening over here? So if Rav Chiya bar Abba is davening, it must be that he's having the correct kind of kavana. Elo delo itgar mar dereish yarcha. Maybe he forgot the Allah v'yavo. So we'll say maybe that's why he davened. Maybe it was Rosh Chodesh, and the reason, or Yom Tov for that matter, and the reason ultimately again he repeated a second Shmona Esrei. So we'll say we assume that the reason why ultimately again Rav Chiya bar Abba is davening twice is why Shachris and then Musaf. Maybe not. Maybe it was Shachris. He forgot Yalev Yavo when he's repeating Shmona Esrei. V'ha Tanya, we learned Tavlo Hiskel Shor Rosh Chodesh Ba'arvis in Machzirin also. We'll say we learned that what? That if a person ultimately again went ahead and he forgot and he did not recite Yalev Yavo, so we'll say, do you have to repeat Shmona Esrei? Everything depends on when you're forgetting it. If you forgot Yalev Yavo, right? I'm sorry. Tavlo Hiskir Shor Rosh Chodesh Ba'arvis. If it happened that night, in Machzirin also, Mevnei Sheyachol Omer B'Shachris. So we'll say, oh, now this is very interesting. So the idea over here is, if you forgot it in Ma'ariv, you don't have to repeat it. Why? Because you could always go ahead and recite it in Shachris. B'Shachris, in Machzir and Osum, Neshiachal or Musafin. If you forgot Ya'alev Yavo, you don't repeat it because you could always say it in Musaf. B'Musafin, in Machzir and Osum, Mem Neshiachal or Mimincha. So I'll say, so this is very interesting. Halacha. Amr Lei Lav Itmar La Amr Rabbi Yochanan, B'Tzibor Shanu. Rabbi say, no. What does that mean? So that's if you're davening B'Tzibor. Actually, Rashi quotes the Bahag. And the Bahag said, who is that you're referring to? This is referring to the Shliach Tzibor. So we'll say what this halacha actually means is as follows. Halacha lemaisa, if you forget Yalev v'yavo, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. There's only one person who doesn't, and we'll qualify this in just a moment. The halacha actually is, Rabosai, that when it comes to Ma'ariv, we'll see Ma'ariv in just a little bit, but in general, if you omit Yalev v'yavo, you have to repeat Shmona Esrei. There's one exception to this rule, which is who? The Shliach Tzibor. Now, technically speaking, the Shliach Tzibor also has to repeat Shmona Esrei, but we don't make him repeat Shmona Esrei because of Tircha de Tzibura, so we allow him to rely on what? His repetition. So we'll say, if the Shliach Tzibor, if the Chazin omits Yalev Yavo, technically speaking, he should have to repeat Shmona Esrei, because remember again, the Shliach Tzibor davens twice. He davens his personal Shmona Esrei and the communal Shmona Esrei. If he forgets Yalev Yavo and his personal Shmona Esrei, he really should have to repeat Shmona Esrei. But because of Tircha the Tzibur, it's going to be a hardship on the Tzibur to have to wait for him to daven another personal Shmona Esrei. We allow him to essentially use his repetition to satisfy both the obligation for repetition as well as his private Shemona Esrei. Kami Yishab in Tila Tila. So it's an interesting halacha. In general, if a person does have to repeat Shemona Esrei, how much time does he have to wait? So Boss said, this comes up all of the time, right? I go ahead and, hopefully not all the time, right? I go ahead and I forget Yalla V'Yavo. So I have to repeat Shemona Esrei. So Boss says, so how does that work? Do I just immediately launch into a second Shemona Esrei? Or is there a need to somehow wait a little bit between the two Shemona Esreis? Kame Yisha ben Tvilo Tvilo. Rav Huna v'Rav Chista. Chad amar kedei she tischonin daitu alav. V'chad amar kedei she tischolal daitu alav. Shabbos says, we're going to see. They're actually not really arguing. They're just using different words for the same concept. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kedeshe tischonin. Now, by the way, Rabbos, I just want to point out, Lav Davka, by the way, this is actually repetition. This is true in every year davening, Shemona Esrei is back to back. So, for example, if you're davening biyachidus, if you're davening yourself, this could also happen when? If you're davening Musaf by yourself. So, Rabbos, you could have a situation where you're going to daven Shacharis and then immediately go into Musaf. Technically speaking, you can do that. See, we often think if you're davening Musaf, let's say it's Rosh Chodesh, you're going to daven Halel. So, Rabbos, on a technical level, if you wanted to daven Shemona Esrei of Shacharis and then immediately Shemona Esrei of Musaf afterwards, you could technically do that. That could work. So, Lamaisa, anytime you're davening two Shemona Esreis back to back, how much time do you have to wait between back to back Shemona Esreis? So, again, if you look at Rashi, Kedeshet Tischonin, Shete Daito Miyushaves, La'aroch Devarav Belashon Trina, Shete Schola Lashon Chilui, Vihihi Elabalishna de Amarakis. So, I will say, interestingly enough, what we see over here is that Halacha Lamaisa, essentially, you have to wait until your mind is settled. Right? How much time is that? So, for example, the Mishnah Berurah says, our custom is that we say Ashrei in between two Shemona Esreis. That's what you do. You never go one Shemona Esrei into the next, but rather a person should have some break in order to be able to settle their mind. So our minhag is we say Ashrei in between them. You don't have to. So for example, if I forgot Yale V'Yavo and I realize I have to repeat Shemona Esrei, technically speaking, I could go right into the next Shemona Esrei. But you know what happens sometimes? If you've ever had this, let's be honest, we're amongst friends. If you ever get Yad Levi Yavo and you repeat Shemona Esrei, they will say, that second Shemona Esrei is like, let's put it this way, Aaron is not bringing Mashiach. Right? That Shemona Esrei, like on the Tefillah Richter scale, like Richter scale, it's not even moving the needle. Right? It's not moving the needle. So the idea is, they will say, if I'm gonna repeat Shemona Esrei, it should have Kavana. So they will say, it's amazing. Things don't change all that much. Right? People, davening is davening, right? So the idea is somehow don't daven again. See, we think the whole goal is just to get in Yale V'Yavo, right? Everything else pretty much is like collateral damage, right? The goal is just get that Yale V'Yavo in and then Shalom Al Yisrael. No, the idea is actually we'll say if I'm supposed to say Yale V'Yavo and I omit it, the truth is it's as if I did not daven. So this is actually my second shot at a Shemona Esrei. So you see, the Gemara says, only daven once you feel you can have real kavana. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, "Man damar kedeshet tischonin daito. I love dichsiv eschanan al Hashem. Man damar kedeshet tischol al daito. I love dichsiv vayecham Moshe." So what says the idea is they're both saying the same thing. They're just using different words, and they're both just gleaning different words from different psukim. Vayeschanan means Moshe Avinu. I supplicated to Hashem. So the second one says vayichal Moshe. I supplicated to Hashem. They're different words for a supplicatory mindset. Amrav, Tavlo Hiska Shorosh Chodesh Arvis in Machzirin Oso. Both things are very interesting. And Haloch Lamaisa, if you omit Yale V'Yavo by Mayriv of Rosh Chodesh, you do not have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. Why not? Lefi Shein Bezdon Mekadesh Esachodesh Ela Bayom. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Haloch is Beis Din does not declare the new month at night, only by day. Yale V'Yavo is our form of sanctifying the new month. So just like Beis Din could not sanctify a new month at night, so too if you omit your personal sanctification, you omit Yale V'Yavo at night, you are not obligated to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei. Why? L'fishen Beis Din Mekadosh Chodesh Ela Bayom. Amra Meimar, Mistar B'Milzal D'Rab B'Chodesh Malei. So we'll say Rav's statement makes sense ultimately again, when the previous month was a complete month, and therefore, Halacha L'Maaseh, Well, you'll see why. Rashi says, "B'chodesh Malei, k'shachodesh Shavar Malei, osin Rosh Chodesh Beis Yomim." Because when the previous month was a full month, Rosh Chodesh is 2 days. So maybe we're talking about really the first letter of Rosh Chodesh, which is really not the first day of the next month, but what? The last day of the current month. Aval b'chodesh chaser. But Rav Osei Falach, Lamai said last month was chaser, which means there's only one day of Rosh Chodesh, and that day of Rosh Chodesh is the real Rosh Chodesh. Machzirin also. Maybe we would make a person go back and repeat Shmona Esrei. And when the Rav Ashi Lameimar, no, Mechti Rav Taima Kamar, Mali Chaser, O Mali Malei, Ela Loshna. Then Rav Osei, the logic is a sound logic. It doesn't really make a difference if Rosh Chodesh is 2 days or 1 day. The logic is, Yalev Yavo is our form of Kiddush HaChodesh, our form of sanctification of the new month. Because of that, Rabbi said the halacha is we only sanctify the new month by day, not at night. And therefore, Rabbi said this is very important. This is halacha lemaisa. Therefore, if you omitted Yalev Yavo at night on Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't make a difference which night. Even if it's a 2 day Rosh Chodesh, first night Rosh Chodesh, second day Rosh Chodesh, you are not obligated to repeat Shmona Esrei. But Rabbi said there's a very important caveat. This halacha only applies to what? To Rosh Chodesh. If you forgot Yalev Yavo, for example, on Yom Tiv, then you are obligated to repeat Shmona Esrei. Right? They will say, and again, the logic is sound. I don't have to repeat Shmona Esrei on Rosh Chodesh because Halacha Lamaisa, Beis Din is not Mekadesh the Chodesh at night. And therefore, if I omitted my quote unquote Kiddush HaChodesh, I don't have to repeat. But if it's Sukkis, if it's Pesach, if it's Shavuos, and I forgot Yalev Yavo, I would be obligated to go ahead and. I would be obligated to go ahead and repeat Shmona Esrei. We'll say Hadron Alach Tfilas Hashachar, and more important, we mamish finished the Chiluk of Art Scroll. This is like Ein Simcha Gedola Mizoh. That's. We'll say let's just. I know it's late, but let's just begin the next Mishnah. Ein Omdin Lesfal Elamitoch Kovid Rosh. We'll say you only get up to Davin from a state of Kovid Rosh. Now Rashi understands Kovid Rosh to means Hachno. Hachno we loosely translate as humility. What it means is, we're going to define this, a person must get up to daven in the right state of mind. Right? The Gemara says, Chassidim HaRishonim HaYushon Sha'achas HaMispalim. Ultimately, again, the first Chassidim, right, the early ones, we'll say, this doesn't refer to the Tanidi Habdash, the Baal Shem Tov's followers, this is even before. Right? The original pious ones, this is incredible. HaYushon Sha'achas HaMispalim. We'll say, would go ahead. Now, we'll discuss how to define this in the Gemara. They would, shon shachs literally means they would meditate. They would meditate. Mm-hmm. Shon literally means tarry. So they, in other words, Rabbi say they wouldn't blow into davening, right? Throw on the tefillin. They prepared for davening. Now, shah achas, Rabbi say we're going to see, could mean an hour, but a shah doesn't have to mean an hour. Shah could also mean a moment, right? In other words, they prepared themselves for some amount of time prior to tefillah, umispalin, and then they would daven, kedeshi echavnu libam labim shabashamayim. Ultimately, it was because Chassidim HaRishonim understood, tefillah is a dialogical connection between myself and the King of Kings. You can't just roll into that. That requires some level of preparation. So they would come for some amount of time before davening. We'll call it meditation, but I will say, again, meditation doesn't have to mean, you know, sitting cross-legged, you know, with your, you know, right? what it means, okay, you could do that also, but what it means is that a person prepares themselves, ultimately, again, for the process that is about to occur. I feel amela shal b'shlamo. Even if the king inquires about your welfare, lo yeshivenu, you cannot respond to the king. Afilu nachash karach alakevo, even if a snake is literally wrapping itself around your ankle, lo ya, or your heel, lo yafsik, don't interrupt Shmona Esrei. And I both say, we'll have to see what that means. Right? Obviously, we're going to qualify that. But both say, what I want to point out to you is as follows. We're just going to do two lines of the Gemara. Both say, what I just want to point out to you is as follows. So this is being contrasted with Shema. Because remember again, Shema, they were halachot, there are times in Shema where you are permitted to stop, right? Remember again, we saw those halachas between paragraphs, what you do in the middle of the paragraphs. What the Mishnah is saying is, Shmona Esrei is different than Shema. There is no hefsik. There are no interruptions in Shmona Esrei. Now, obviously, you understand, of course, this is hyperbole. Because if the king, who has the power of death over you, okay, the serpent is about to sting you. So we're employing hyperbole in order to make a point. You do not interrupt Shmona Esrei for anything. Fine, we'll do one more line. Minani Mili. We'll say, where do we get this from? Right, where does this come from that you can't interrupt Shmona Esrei at all? Amr Belaz Damar Kra, Vihim Maras Nefesh. Because the pasuk says by Chana, when Chana, the mother of Shmuel, came to Davin, literally, I will say it means that she was bitter of heart. And I will say, and that's what the Gemara is bringing over here. The Gemara is not saying you have to be bitter to Davin. What it's saying over here is she came in an emotionally charged state. So the idea that I'm saying is that tefillah comes in the midst of an emotionally charged state. So the Gemara says Mimai. So the Gemara says Mimai. Dilma Chana Shaini Dehavis Mirira Libatuva. How can you bring an example from Chana? Well, say Chana is coming to the Mishkan in a state of profound bitterness and brokenness over the fact that she was barren. She wanted one thing out of life, she didn't have it. So I could easily say that Chana is an outlier. Who's to say that Chana creates the paradigm? David HaMelech says in Tehillim, and I come to your Beis HaMikdash, B'yira Secha. B'yira Secha, Rabbosei, means what? In a state of Yira, in a state of reverence. How do you come to the house of God? You come to the house of God with a sense of Yira. Mimai, Dilma David Shaini, Dahavi Mitzar Nafshe B'rachami Tuva. Again, the Gemara says, maybe David HaMelech was an outlier. Maybe he was an outlier. How do you bring an example from him? Elo Amar Rabbi Shob and Levi Mihaka, Hishtachavu LaHashem B'Hadras Kodesh. Atikri B'Hadras, Ela B'Charodos. Ultimately, again, I will say, maybe it doesn't mean Hadras, but maybe it means Charodos. So we'll stop over here for today, right? But you're going to see the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of psukim, and essentially every time we bring a pasuk, we're going to ask, how do you know this is the, I don't know this is the example, this is the paradigm, maybe it's the outlier. We'll say, Mazda finishing the parak, Yemir Tzah Hashem, new week, the parak tomorrow.